King here again. Bert, you were mentioning about everybody moving to one side or moving up. I heard about one congregation. They were building a new church building, and they wanted the fanciest, the most up-to-date, modern church building that they could have when they were building this church building. So the preacher, he decided he would have a few tricks up his sleeve. And sure enough, when the church building was all completed, the congregation came in for the first time to meet, and there was only one pew in the back. And so when people came in, he knew that people would always want to sit toward the back anyway. So sure enough, people started sitting in. But as soon as that back row filled up, all of a sudden you heard this button, this noise, and that pew just slid up, and another one popped up behind it. So sure enough, people would come in, they'd sit behind and sit in that back row. When that row got filled up, sure enough, it would keep sliding up to the front. Well, then the preacher got going one time, and the congregation wanted modern things too. And he got going a little bit too long one time, and all of a sudden a trap door opened, and he dropped right through the door, and so they had a few tricks up their sleeves. But maybe y'all haven't installed a trap door on me this evening, but maybe it won't go too long either. I hope that you are getting a copy of the outline this evening, and maybe this will help you follow along with our lesson this evening as we talk about golden rings and filthy clothes. And some of you might have guessed what topic I was going to speak on, but tonight we're going to take a look at what the Bible has to say out of James chapter 2, the first several verses. There's one Sunday morning that an old cowboy entered church just before services were to begin. And although the old man in his clothes were spotlessly clean, he wore jeans, a denim shirt, and boots that were very worn and ragged. And in his hand, one hand he held an old hat, and then the other hand an equally worn out Bible. But the church he entered was in a very upscale and exclusive part of the city. It was the largest church and most beautiful church that this old cowboy had ever seen. And the people of the congregation were all dressed with expensive clothes and all the accessories to go with it. And as the cowboy took a seat, the others moved away from him. No one greeted or spoke to or welcomed him. They were all appalled at his appearance and did not attempt to hide it. The preacher gave a long sermon about hellfire and brimstone and a stern lecture on how much money the church needed to do God's work. As the old cowboy was leaving the church, the preacher approached him and said, and asked the cowboy to do him a favor. And he said, "Before you come back in here again, have a talk with God and ask him what he thinks would be appropriate attire for worship." The old cowboy assured the preacher they would. Well, the next Sunday, he showed back up for services wearing the same ragged jeans, the same shirt, boots, and hat. And once again, he was completely shunned and ignored. The preacher approached the man and said, "I thought I asked you to speak to God before you came back to our church." "I did," replied the old cowboy. And the preacher said, "If you spoke to God, what did he tell you was a proper attire should be for worshiping in here?" And the old cowboy said, "Well, sir, God told me he didn't have a clue what I should wear. He says he's never been here before." Even though that story might sound a little humorous to us, makes us wonder how we might treat someone who doesn't dress like we do, look like we do, have the same skin color that we have, live in the same side of town, live in the same kind of house or size of house that we feel is appropriate, do the same kind of job we do or one we can relate to. And similar things were mentioned here in the book of James. And if we look closely, we can find time after time that the Bible talks about how we should treat one another as far as partiality is concerned. And the thing I want us to look at tonight is look at James chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, and see that we should not show partiality. And there are four reasons, I believe, that the book of James says here in these first 13 verses of reasons why we should not show partiality. First of all, we should not show partiality because this is against our faith. This is against our faith. And you might ask, well, why would showing partiality be against our faith? Let's take a look at verses 1 through 4. James writes, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, 'You sit here in a good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand there,' or 'Sit here at my footstool,' have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Yes, we see here that showing partiality is against our faith. Well, what does partiality mean? What do we mean by partiality? Well, one definition of partiality, if you will, is that partiality means to accept someone on the basis of their face. That's a literal word or literal meaning of partiality, to accept someone on the basis of their face. And probably a way that we most commonly use it here is that partiality means to show favoritism to someone based on their outward appearance, based on, as the Bible says here in verse 4, on evil thoughts, on superficial things, on the things that we see on the outside, whether it's what someone wears, as was mentioned here, or what someone drives, or where they live, or what kind of job they work in, and other superficial type reasons. But Jesus showed no partiality in His life, in His work. And there are several ways that we saw that Jesus was determined not to show partiality. One way that Jesus did not show partiality was on the basis of occupation. If you think back to when Jesus was choosing His 12 closest apostles, those that would lead His work and spend it throughout, have the start of Christianity throughout all eternity. You know, if you were to start a business or you to start an organization, maybe even a religious organization like Jesus did, what would be the 12 people you would choose? Who would be those 12? Would we look for the 12 that are leaders in their area? Maybe the most well-spoken. Maybe the most dynamic individuals. Maybe those that had the means to, that had the money that they didn't really have to work and they were freed up where they could travel around. Was that the type of individuals that Jesus chose? But when He chose His 12 disciples in Matthew chapter 4 in verse 18 and 19, one instance tells us that when Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then He said to them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." Yes, Jesus didn't care about what kind of job someone did. He felt like those two brothers, He could use their skills in having them become fishers of men. Later on in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, we're told, and Jesus passed on from there, and He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And He said to him, "Follow Me." So he arose and followed Him. Now, certainly a tax collector was not one of your most popular individuals at that time. But Jesus saw beyond the occupation. Jesus did not show partiality on that basis. Yes, Jesus also did not show partiality on the basis of social status, on where someone was in keeping up with the Joneses. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10, we're told, "Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." How would we look at this situation if we were to go to a restaurant or to the park and we saw someone here sitting down with those whose society shuns and disregards? Would we look down on that person? That's exactly what the Sadducees and Pharisees did here with Jesus. They looked down on him because here he was sitting with the tax collectors, Jews that might work for the Roman government. Here Jesus was sitting with sinners. Can you imagine such a thing? How about in Luke chapter 7, verse 36? Then we're told, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with them. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat." Well, why would Jesus sit with religious leaders who were so far stretched from the true Word of God when Jesus knew that those Pharisees were whitewashed tombs, like he said, and he went to battle with them over and over, that they were as far to one end of the religious spectrum as you could be? And Jesus sat down with them. Yes, Jesus did not show partiality on the basis of one's occupation or social status. Jesus also did not show partiality on the basis of race. In John chapter 4, verse 9, we remember the story of the woman at the well and how Jesus met the woman of Samaria. And we're told in verse 9, "Then the woman of Samaria said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" Yes, why did the Jews not have dealings with the Samaritans? Well, they were mixed race. They did not look like Jews. One could tell that they were not a Jew just by the way they looked, by their skin color, by their race. Did that mean anything to Jesus? Did it matter that she was a woman and he was a man, and that just was not custom at that time? That was not socially accepted at the time? No, Jesus did not show partiality when it came to sitting down with them and telling them about the will of God. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, we're told this story. "Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him. And Jesus said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. But only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, 'Assuredly, I say to you that I have not found such a great faith, not even in Israel.'" Well, here was a Roman centurion, someone that no doubt had heard about Jesus and wanted to find some more about him, but was of a different race than Jesus was. But here was Jesus that even would make a comment to those who followed him. "I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." Yes, Jesus was one who was willing to speak to a Samaritan woman or even a Roman centurion that most Jews would just hate and despise. So what does that mean for us? How does that relate to us? Should we show partiality? Well, Jesus taught against partiality and John chapter 7, verse 24, he said, "Do not judge according to appearance." Some translations say, "Do not judge according to mere appearances, but judge with righteous judgment." What did Jesus mean by "do not judge according to appearance"? In other words, don't worry about what someone wears. how much money they have, what they drive, where they live, what kind of job they have, what race they are, what social status, what occupation. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Yes, we should not show partiality because that is against our faith in Jesus. Second of all, in James chapter 2, we notice that we should not show partiality because this is against God's will. This is against God's will. If you will, look at James 2, verses 5 through 7. We're told, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? Yes, we see here that showing partiality is against God's will. God has chosen even the poor of this world to be rich in faith. And God looks beyond the outside things. He looks at the riches or poorness of our faith, if you will. God is no respecter of persons. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35, we're told, then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Yes, God does not show partiality. He is no respecter of persons, as some translations say. Any nation. What is the key? Is it where we live? What nation? What race? What occupation? No. Bible says, but whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Social differences do not matter to God as well. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, we're told, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master it's also in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Yes, God didn't even care whether or not someone was a slave or not. What was the key to him? Whoever does good, according to verse 8. And our master is in heaven, as the Bible says. So social differences doesn't matter to God. What is the key? God wants us to be rich in faith. There in James chapter 2, verse 5. Has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised those that love him? In other words, on the day of judgment, will it matter how much money we have, what kind of clothes we wear, what we drive, what kind of house we live in, what kind of job? No, what will matter is whether or not we're rich in faith. And all who are rich in faith will become heirs of the kingdom of God. Yes, we should not show partiality because this is against our faith in Jesus. It's against God's will. Thirdly, we should not show partiality because the Scriptures teach different. The Scriptures teach different. All throughout the Bible, we're taught different than those things. Look at verses 8 through 11. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So we're told that we should keep the whole law, that every scripture matters. We're also told that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Yes, we should love others. And from the beginning of time, God's people have been taught to love others. Verse 8, as well as several places in the New Testament, we're told, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. In Leviticus chapter 19, in verses 15 through 18, when God was giving His instructions to the children of Israel, listen to some of the commands that He gave regarding how we should treat one another. So in verse 15, you shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Yes, God, all supreme, the creator of everything, commands us to not show partiality, but to love one another as ourselves. Yes, we must obey all scripture. And the Bible emphasizes here that if we, in verse 9, if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. He goes on to say, well, whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. Yes, it doesn't matter how many righteous things we do. If you think about the Pharisees and how Jesus would emphasize to them how they obey the little points of the law. They would even tithe of the herbs of the garden. But they forgot the weightier messages of the law. And yes, one of the most important things that the Bible teaches us is to love our neighbors as ourselves. And if we are showing partiality, we're not loving that other person like we would want to be treated. Yes, we should not show partiality because the scriptures do teach different. And finally, we should not show partiality because there is a judgment. Because there is a judgment. In James chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, we're told, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Yes, we will all be faced with judgment one day. And so we must be careful what we say, and we must be careful what we do. And the final points, the final thoughts here on partiality, James writes, so speak and so do as those who will be judged. Yes, if Jesus, the one who will judge us at the last day, was here sitting in our services or was following us around, and if He saw how we were treating one another, would He show approval when we show partiality? Well, absolutely not. We know that Jesus did not behave in such a way. He did not practice such a thing. And He doesn't endorse those who do. One of the most difficult things for us is to reach out to those who are different than us. To reach out to someone that we have nothing in common with. Maybe we don't have the same race. We don't have the same occupation. Maybe we have nothing in common with that person. But the key is here in these scriptures is that we cannot show partiality and show favoritism to those who we do have those things in common with. And shun those who we don't. Yes, we must make sure as we spread the gospel throughout this part of the world and throughout all parts of the world that we do not show partiality. Maybe there's something in this lesson that's pricked your heart and made you sit back and look at your life. And I hope so, as preparing for this has done for me. And the key is, as we close this lesson, is to remember that we are all going to face a judgment. And we have to make sure that we are upholding all the law or all the commandments in the Bible. and not shunning and picking and choosing one thing over another. If there's something we can help you with tonight, maybe you need to become a Christian, put on your Lord and faith by repenting of your sins, confessing the name of Jesus and being buried in baptism, or whether you need the prayers of the church for forgiveness or support, if we can help you in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing.